All right, so we're continuing our series in growing in God, and I wanted to talk about growing in knowledge today, or growing in goodness is what I wrote here on the screen, but it doesn't matter, does it? You know, that is just like me. I put in the wrong slide. Linda, do you have the, is she not here? Okay, you know what? You can actually just skip this, and this is all being recorded, so you can find out my mistakes later. I actually loaded the wrong sermon, and that's okay. we'll just shut that off, yes. Actually, I think the sermon slides are on the original slide presentation, is it? Yeah? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I tell worship leaders all the time, I said, there's never been a greater tool of Satan than PowerPoint, Microsoft PowerPoint. I feel like thwarted worship services all across the world. Satan was like, look, we don't have to do spiritual warfare. We'll just give him PowerPoint. Anyways, this is going to be a little awkward, so I'm going to just rely on you to help me out here. But if you can go to the first slide. What I want to talk about today is, you know, growing in knowledge. And there's this terrible stereotype about Asians. We love to study. You know, we're all nerdy. And, you know, we're all book smarts. And we all know that's not true, right, guys? We know a million Asians who aren't. Yeah, anyways, I won't get into that. I hate it when sometimes stereotypes are sort of true. But what I want to talk about today is, you know, we're living in an age that really values knowledge. It's really interesting to me, as a pastor slash armchair sociologist, isn't it interesting that one of the most powerful companies in the world today is a company that specializes in organizing knowledge, which is Google. You know, we are in a time and an age where there's so much information available, and it is so quick. We're no longer limited by, you know, mail, by distance, by cultures. You know, we can translate. Data is everywhere. Information is everywhere. It's amazing now. Kids are learning how to build things, you know, do things, learn about things, and they say, just Google it. You know, the information is out there. And it's interesting to me is that we are in a time that we have never had more information. The average person has access to unbelievable amounts of information. But it has not made us smarter. it has not necessarily changed us or transformed our society. We are a society now that is often like sifting through data like trivia. I've met many people nowadays who know so much about so many things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're growing as a person. And this is what I want to talk about today, is that when we're talking about growing in knowledge, the temptation for us is to grow in our trivia of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus Christ was born, da-da-da, you know, at this place, at this time? Did you know that there are this many, like, you know, founding fathers of the church, blah, 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 you know, and we have all this trivia, but it doesn't necessarily make us grow as people. And that's what I want to kind of talk about this distinction today, is like I want to talk about growing in the knowledge of Christ, not in growing in trivia. It involves a lot more than intellectual data. And this is what we were talking about in Peter. If we can go to the next slide here. Peter was talking about, you know, for his vision for Christians to grow is that, you know, God has given his divine power to all of us. And he has given us all that we need to live that life that God has called us to, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 1. And what's going on here is that he is saying we are called to grow. He's given us all that we need, and he's given us his knowledge to us through our knowledge of him. It is through our knowledge of God that we grow, that we have all that we are equipped to do. Which leads us to this next thing. You see, the word knowledge here is this Greek word called epignosis. We can go to the next slide. And epignosis basically means to become thoroughly acquainted with, or to know thoroughly, and to know accurately, or to know well. This is often used in a special context with things that are divine or ethical. So when I'm talking about knowledge today, I'm not talking about trivia. I'm talking about this epignosis, this intimately, like, thorough knowledge. You know, often this knowledge will only come about not through studying as much as through the way that you're living your life, as you develop these Christ-like graces, this knowledge begins to form. And let's go to the next slide. This is very awkward, isn't it? you see, this is not just, this is what Peter desires, as we see here, is that for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what he's trying to say here is that all of these characteristics, as you grow in all of these, you will begin to grow in your knowledge of who God is. And so this isn't just trivia. This is kind of a knowledge that happens as we get to know God intimately, as we know God through growing in our characteristics. This is not just Peter's desire, but this is even the Apostle Paul's desire. This is God's desire for all Christians, that we're continually growing in our knowledge of Christ. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. And get this, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You see, God is encouraging us to grow in the knowledge of God. Much more than just studying data, God is asking us to grow in knowing who is God. And what's the main source of our growth? We discover as we look at the Bible, it says that Scripture is the main source of our growth in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17 says this. But as for you, continue what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, a lot of people talk about, like, how can I get to know God more? Like, God seems so unapproachable. I don't know who God is. And that is exactly why God has given us the Word of God. That is why he's given us the Scriptures. It's because through the Scriptures, we are given all the tools that we need for all aspects of life to grow in every good work. You can't be a Christian and not be familiar with the Scriptures. Because if you're not familiar with the Scriptures, how can you grow into knowing what God asks of you? You know, it's amazing how a lot of people just want to be spoon-fed, like, kind of facts or data and information. I'm like, it's not going to be through information and facts. It's going to be through a living engagement of reading the Word, responding to it through the way that you live. It's through that you will grow in knowledge. And Scripture has given us all that we need to live out that life. All growth in the knowledge of God has to be rooted in the fundamental anchor of the Word. It's interesting, as I continue to teach about the Bible, I go to many churches where many people have a background of knowing about the Bible, who know many of the stories of the Bible. They know lots of information about the Bible, but it doesn't guarantee that you have that Greek word epignosis of who God is, that thorough knowledge of who God is. The idea of knowledge as concepts, as data, that's actually a Greek concept that happened much later. If you look at Hebrew culture, knowledge was actually the entry point to relationship. When we say, I know him, it meant like I was acquainted with him. I know these things about him because I have a relationship with him. But it's in that Greek culture where knowledge became a lot more like a cerebral thing. It became very abstract. And, you know, we receive that inheritance in a lot of our churches, is that we've made Bible study this very abstract thing where you're just communicating data. And, you know, frankly, I fall asleep in those Bible studies all the time because I just don't feel like it's connecting to anybody or anything. You know, how often have we gone to church and we've just been kind of pooling data? You know, there's nothing inspiring about a Google search, is there? It's not like, wow, that was a great Google search. I'm glad I did that. You know, you don't come away as a better person. All you've done is just, like, shuffle data around filtered out data. But when you kind of investigate the scriptures as an opportunity, as an entry point to relationship, that changes everything. And what I'm talking about here is this tension between heart knowledge and head knowledge. You see, God wants us to grow in knowing him, but in a very specific kind of heart knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, you know, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And so this is a very important thing. I've gone to many churches where, you know, some folks are more educated. Some folks maybe even took a Bible college class or two, or maybe even went to seminary. And sometimes we use that knowledge of the Bible, that knowledge of God, because maybe we've been Christian longer. We use it sort of as this qualification that I am more mature, that I know more than you, that I'm better than you. And this is a classic example of what Paul was talking about. Look, knowledge can make us all look bigger, for sure. But what knowledge may make you bigger, but it may just be puffing you up. And why he uses this word puff up is that it makes you look bigger, but inside there's really nothing. You see, knowledge only really makes sense unless it builds up. Knowledge used in love. You know, knowledge in the hands of someone without love is very dangerous. God's desire for you to grow is that you use the knowledge that you have to build others up in love. And that's why James chapter 3, verse 1, he says, you know, not many of you should presume to be teachers, because teachers will be judged according to what they've said. Because the truth of your lesson is not going to be in the content of your curriculum or your PowerPoint slides, but it will be in the conduct of your life. And for me, this is always very humbling. I mean, just studying this today, I was realizing, you know, as I'm teaching about growing in knowledge, the truth of like how much you know in Christ is not about how successful you are in tests, but how you're living. And this is it's a very humbling thing for me. I remember when I had my first experience with American standardized testing for graduate schools in America. And, you know, Rio was telling me just very honestly, says, you know, Sam, what you need to do is not learn the facts or the information on these tests, but learn how to write it so you can get a good score. So they're not actually interested in you growing in your knowledge, but they're just trying to teach you, and this is for kids too. You know, this is a sad thing about our standardized testing. It teaches you, play this game, and if you can play this game very well, you'll get a high score. You don't grow in knowledge like that, folks. You know, a lot of us have kind of thought, like, we treat Jesus and the Bible studies as like SATs. You know, learn how to say the right Christian words. Learn how to say the right Christian trivia to get that, you know, pastor off your back. But you're not growing in knowledge of who God is. And so what I want to talk about today is how can we grow in three ways of what God sees as growing in knowledge. What is God's view of growing in knowledge? And it's different than the way the world is. We don't want to be teachers who simply pool more data. We want to be teachers who impart knowledge that gives life, that offers salvation, that offers hope, that transforms people. And so I want to talk about three ways that we can grow in knowledge. And the first thing is this, growing in love knowledge. And what do I mean by love knowledge? I mean, in love knowledge, I mean asking these kind of key fundamental questions. And this is all in your bulletins for inserts, if this is giving you a headache up here. Who is God? What is he like? How is he with us? How does he work with his people? Can you answer these questions? Who is God? What is he like? How does he act with his people? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 to 19. This is Paul's prayer for the church, and he prays this for all Christians. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with his power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may fill to the measure of all the fullness of God.
You see, this is much more than knowledge, and there's another Greek word for knowledge, and unfortunately, this is the problem with translations, right? This is why a lot of the Bible, you know, you read it and like, wow, that is a run-on sentence. This is like, someone needed to edit Paul's letters. It's because of that, it's because of this translation. You know, Greek is just like Russian. I don't know if anyone knows Russian, but you know, just a sentence in Russian or Greek has a lot of information in it. So if you want to translate into English, you know, it'll take up several lines. And what we lose often in the translation is that when he's talking about this love that surpasses knowledge, the Greek word is gnosis. It's similar to that word epignosis that you're talking about. But gnosis is more about, it's about kind of information. And what Paul is saying is like, there is a love that surpasses that kind of information, that gnosis. To know God, this is what I want for you, you know, Ephesian church. I want you to know God and the knowledge that surpasses knowledge. To know how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love that God has for you. To get acquainted with that. Seek that out more than any other love in your life, by any means necessary. You know, it's interesting. I rarely talk about it because I'm almost embarrassed now. I don't know why, but I graduated from seminary twice, so I have two master's degrees from seminary. They don't really build on each other, so I'm just learned, I guess, but it doesn't really add up to anything. But it's interesting, having been in seminary for like 6 years, you know, taking these master's degrees and such, it's interesting at the end of the day, I realized, what is the biggest thing I learned about God through all my seminary time and all my study of scripture and theology is that I don't know God fully. I have so much more to learn. And I learn, a good sign of learning is that you learn that there's more to learn. You know, you meet some of the best musicians in the world, the most accomplished people in the world, and you know, they never say like, wow, I just figured out all of music. I'm done. You know, I look at that piano, the 88 keys. I know all those keys. I'm done. You know, for generations, people continue to still explore those 88 keys and discover all the combinations, all the harmonies, and all the textures that come out of that. And in the same way, with theology and our pursuit of God, we will never graduate, you know, from knowing who God is. The infinite depths of God always invites us to discover more and more of who he is. And what compels us, what makes us pursue God so much is that we have this desire for our love knowledge of God. And that's what I want to encourage you in, is to grow in your love knowledge of God. When I first met Rhea, I just knew facts about her. But now that we're married together, I want to learn to grow in my love knowledge of who she is, the things that make her happy. And I discover the things that annoy her, and I do them. And I'm trying not to, so, you know, I'm trying to grow. And, you know, I want to grow in that love knowledge. And so the second knowledge I want to talk about is truth knowledge. And the questions we want to ask when we're growing in truth knowledge is this: what does God consider good? What does God consider wrong? Where is my life formed by the truth, and where do I avoid truth in my life? So if I ask you something like, you know, what does God say is good? Do you have an answer for that? Are you growing in that answer? Are you growing in truth knowledge? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, Peter is writing to the church. He says, "Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position." Verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And see, what Peter is trying to say is, you know, in this world, a lot of people are going to think that they're right. A lot of people will have very strong opinions. And it will be up to you to know what the truth looks like so that you don't get tossed to and fro. And I say this especially to the church now because we're living in this very interesting moment in the church where I've discovered the growth of what I call the celebrity pastor. You know, we discover a pastor that we really like. We buy all his tapes. You know, we go to all of his seminars and all of his conferences. And then we begin to think, like, whatever that guy says, I'm totally on board with. He said it, so it must be true. And, you know, that's, I mean, that's good that we learn from people and we're hungry to learn from these wonderful individuals of God. But the danger is this, is that we begin to stop testing the truth. We begin to kind of come to church in this kind of passive way and just say, like, well, whatever he said is probably true. He said it. It's true, right? I mean, I can't be blamed for it. But you see, truth does not come from people. It comes from God. And that's what Peter is trying to warn. He says, look, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the errors of others. How many times have I met Christians who just kind of like buy into something completely or completely shut them out? We are in a time and age where it requires us as Christians to be wise with the word. Could you actually say to your enemy, you know what, some of the things you said are very true, and I'm going to totally learn from that. But some of what you said, I discern to be false. Can we be mature enough to receive the truth and then discern out and filter out the things that are untrue? Could I challenge you, CCC, to even like listen to when I'm talking about the word? Can you test it with scripture? Discover, you know, what are the things that Sam is saying? Is that true? Or are some of the things, you know, when I find in the Bible, like, I need to test that and see that maybe it's not right. And could you maybe tell me and maybe even correct? And then maybe we could kind of pray together and search through the scriptures about it. See, that's a very different approach. And when people hear that, they're like, oh, that's a lot of work, Sam. I mean, it's just easier to say that guy's okay and just say everything's fine. But that's very dangerous. You know, and especially, and I say this very carefully in an election year, but you know, one of the dangers of American society is that we're forced to choose between one side or the other. You must accept everything about this side or not. Accept everything about this side or not. And you know, if you're independent, that doesn't mean anything, does it? So whatever, we don't even think about those folks. You know, that's kind of what happens. But you know, I want to ask you, God's truth is greater than parties, is greater than individuals. God's truth stands above. The politics that I have is neither right nor left, neither American nor Canadian. The truth that I have will be founded on the word of God. And at times, it will line up with the common sense of the world, but at times, many times, it will not. Are we growing in our knowledge of the truth? Peter is saying, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the only knowledge that lasts. So grow in love knowledge, grow in truth knowledge, and the last is this, grow in living knowledge. What do I mean by that? Asking these kind of questions. Does my knowledge of God affect the way I live my life? Am I growing in the way that I live? Do I know what kind of way of life God loves? You know, and I think about Ed Chan. One of my first conversations with Ed, he said something as I thought was really funny. He's talking about, you know, when your child is young, you know, and he goes to the bathroom in his pants or something, you know, it's fine. You know, that's what kids do. You're just going to teach them. How do you go to the bathroom? That's what they do. But, you know, if the kid's 20 and he's still doing that, you're going to be think, like, why aren't you learning? You know, something's wrong. There's a different kind of standard. Some of you are young in Christ. You'll make mistakes. That's fine. But if you have known Christ for a while, there is a standard. Are you changing your lifestyle? Are you still living like you're 5 years old? There's nothing cute about that. You know, sometimes we look at kids and they're crying when the water hits their head and stuff in baptism. That's fine, you know. But if they're 25 and like a little water hits their head, like, wah, it's like, that's not cute, okay? You got to stop that fast. Someone's got to tell you in love and truth, that's not cute. Stop it. Grow up. And that's what we have to do as Christians. How many of us as Christians, we're thinking like, goo, goo, gaga, you know, I read my one verse and I think God is good. God, thank you for this day. And I've been praying this for 80 years. I'm like, you know, you can't do that anymore. You can't keep praying the same prayers. You can't keep doing the same things. Are you growing and evolving in who you know who God is and how it affects your life? Knowledge isn't just information. Epignosis, as we're discovering in 2 Peter, and I was trying to say earlier, it only happens when you are living right. When you live out that list of godly characteristics in 2 Peter chapter 1, that's when you begin to show that you know God. So when it says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't grow in these characteristics, if you don't continue to have them in increasing measure, look what it says in verse 8. It says that you'll become ineffective and unproductive in knowing who God is. How many of us have maybe done all the studies, have done all these things, have been going to church for the longest time, but have not felt like we have really grown in knowing who God is? And a question maybe to ask is, have you grown in your lifestyle? In the knowledge, not in your living knowledge, in the way that you live your life. Because let me tell you, you can learn a lot of Bible trivia, but it's when you begin to take that trivia out of your head and put it into your heart, that is when you begin to grow. And we were talking about this in discipleship class. You know, I want to be very clear is that, you know, every Sunday, if you're coming to find out more new information, you're not going to find it every Sunday. Because my desire when I preach is not to give you new information, but my desire is to give you heart information that will transform your lives through the study of the Word. And before I end today, I just want to kind of share a little personal story. I remember in college, there was a good friend of mine who was going to church with me, and we were living next door to each other in the dormitory. And, you know, we thought this is going to be great. We're going to pray for each other. And so every night we prayed for each other before we went to bed, and it was great. You know, he was growing in God. I was growing in God. And I remember one day he kind of sat down and he said to me, you know, after I think it was a student fellowship and we had a Bible study, he just sat down with me and said, you know, Sam, it's kind of obvious. It's kind of obvious, you know, these teachings. Like, look at it. Love one another, obviously, right? I mean, who's going to go up there? No, we should hate each other, you know? Obviously, Jesus is king. Yeah. I mean, he said it enough times, obviously. And he just walked away from that. We just walked away from this conversation with him kind of sort of fed up thinking like, you know, what is the point? I mean, why do we have to be taught so much? Isn't the Bible just self-evident? And you know, it's sad to think about that conversation because I didn't know what was coming next. It was in the months to come that he stopped coming to church. And I met him a year later, and he met me, and I said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't seen you anywhere. You know, after he moved out from dormitory. And he said, hey, we should connect. And he just looked at me very sarcastically. He's like, yeah, we should. And he just left. Which basically was a very insulting way of saying, like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And I discovered is that he's completely renounced the faith now. And, you know, it's so interesting is that when we begin to, like, not want to grow in the knowledge of who God is, when we begin to think that growing in God is just kind of knowing the right answers, kind of raising your hand and knowing, okay, I know what Pastor Sam's looking for. The answer is Jesus. When you begin to have that automatic pilot, you're beginning to become stagnant in your faith, and you're beginning to get this little familiarity and this condescension with who God is. And you've forgotten that all wisdom and knowledge comes from Christ alone. And that every good and perfect thing comes from God. And then you begin to kind of have your world shrink, and then God becomes so small that he is easily replaceable by the things of this world. My desire for us is to never grow stagnant in our knowledge of God. The thing that really impacted me when I graduated from Regent was that I was taught by this, you know, this great professor, J.I. Packer, you know, who's known as like one of the great theological leaders of the Anglican Church. And here is a man who's dedicated most of his life, pretty much all of his life, to the pursuit of knowing God. He will probably know more about who God is than most people. And you know what he said about theology. He said all of his life, like, theology, the entire pursuit of theology is basically baby talk. It's basically kids learning how to talk to their dad. I was amazed by this. Decades and decades of his life, poring over books. And he's saying, you know, this is just baby talk. And it was just so humbling to see this great man of God saying, like, I have so much more to learn. I'm still a baby. And I want to be like that. I don't want to ever say, like, I figured out God. I want to grow in knowing who God is. Because God is big. God is infinite. There is so much more to know. Never lose sight of that. And if you believe that, you will continue to grow and you will never be ineffective and unproductive in what God has called you to be. And that is the promise of 2 Peter chapter 1. Let us grow in knowing God forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, let us grow. Help us to grow in the knowledge of who Christ is. We want to be people that are shaped by the knowledge of God. Much more than information, God, transform our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.